So much. surprise. The man I saw looking back at me, I almost didn't recognize. Wasn't I just a kid moving to Tennessee with an old guitar and eyes full of stars, chasing a crazy dream? But time just seemed to vanish right before my eyes. You may not understand it, why we live with a sacrifice, but it's worth every mile to get to sing for a while. Truth is, I've done it all for free. Always rhymes to be making when you're a dream chaser like me. Last night a new song came to me, faster than I could write it down. Sometimes I wonder if there'll be another, then another comes around. Time just seems to vanish right before my eyes. You may not understand it, why we live with sacrifice, but it's worth every mile to get to sing for a while. Truth is, I've done it all for free. Always rhymes to be making when you're dream chasing like me. Always rhymes to be making when you're a dream chaser like me.
First it's all you want and all that you can. disappear, like thunder disappears. We all learn what we will about devotion when we make for dry ground. But we really ought to drown. All these leaves keep sinking in slow motion. I don't wanna be saved. How I wish you felt the same when I find myself swimming in your ocean. When I find myself swimming in your ocean.
You are tuned to WRV 90.1 FM Burlington, your better alternative. Welcome back. My name is DJ Io, and today I'm about to be joined with an amazing interview from a band that will be playing live at Higher Ground tonight. But before that, they brought in a CD, so let's hear one of your songs, and feel free to chat in with a guest if you know the artist behind Sorrow Reigns. And you just heard Sorrow Reigns by Brown Horse, who are live with me in studio now. Brown Horse, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Good, thanks.
Good to be here.
It is so great to have you guys here in studio now. So you guys have come all the way from Norwich, England to Burlington, Vermont to perform tonight at Higher Ground at 8 p.m. Is that correct?
That's right.
Nice. Yeah. Higher Ground's a great venue, and tickets are still on sale now if you haven't gotten those yet. I have a feeling they're going to be going very quick soon. So just out of curiosity, what's it like performing in the EU and Britain versus here in America, since you guys did mention you have done a North American tour before?
Crowds are a lot more into it, I think, over here. We play kind of country-tinged kind of rock and roll, so I think we're kind of a bit more of an understood thing over here, and crowds are just a bit more loud and lively. They kind of go a bit harder than some of the crowds back home. Maybe especially in Northern Europe, it can get a little stony sometimes. So it's been absolutely great. It's a real treat coming over here, and people just seem so into it, and it's great.
And this is your guys' first, or not first time in Burlington, but first time performing in Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah, it's the first time playing here. We got to come here back in May. We had a day off, and we got to stay at with our friends Lily Seabird and her partner Rick have a house here. And shout out Lily Seabird, who's on tour in the UK at the moment. So we got to have a day off in Burlington a few months ago, which was great, and we love the city, and it's super beautiful, and Vermont's amazing. So yeah, it's great to be able to come back and actually play a show here.
Yeah, that's awesome. You guys mentioned that you're kind of near Lake Champlain right now. Have you guys heard about the monster in the lake, or?
No, but we'd love to.
Yeah, so if you don't know, Champ is our local cryptid.
You got a local cryptid?
Yes, we do. It's a very American thing to have cryptids, you know. Yeah. I think the British have like trolls and fairies and stuff, but we have Mothman, we got the Flatwoods Monster, and we have Champ. So Champ is the essentially the Nessie knockoff that lives in Lake Champlain. Okay.
Love that.
Okay. So
Champ on the guest list for tonight.
Oh, got VIPs now. Yeah. But in terms of your guys' music, Total Dive is your newest album, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's what we just heard from. So how did you guys, you guys formed in 2020, but then you released two albums. I'm blanking on whatever name I have written. All the Right Weaknesses in 2025, and then Total Dive in 2026. Yeah. So how does it feel to have released so many albums so quickly?
I mean, it's great. It's what we love doing. I think a big part of it is we all share the songwriting. So that song you just heard, Sorrow Reigns, that's one Emma wrote. But throughout all of our albums, there's songs that each of us contributed. So we can work pretty quickly if we need to, but it also means we get to grow and evolve together. And, you know, we've done three albums, but we've done three albums because we love playing music and we love playing shows, and you play the album, you get to go on tour, and we get to spend wow. those amazing adventures together. Yeah, yeah. There's a reason we do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be amazing to be able to go and share the thing that you love and that you created with so many people. I mean, especially, you guys are international now.
That's wicked.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you guys mentioned that you all share the songwriting process. How does that usually work? Do you come up with ideas individually? Do you kind of split off into smaller groups? What's that process like?
Yeah, we're basically writing the sort of melody, the lyrics, the basic chord progression on our own, and then sending it in a pretty low-key voice note to the rest of the band, and it sort of goes from there. People add their own parts, and it kind of becomes a whole different thing once it's gone through the sort of Brown Horse machine.
Where would music be without voice notes, honestly? Yeah, greatest invention since the guitar, I guess. Yeah. As for instruments, what do you guys each play?
So Patrick here, I sing and play guitar and sometimes violin.
I play lead guitar and bass.
Nice.
I'm Rowan, I play keys and accordion.
And I'm Emma, and I play pedal steel and bass.
Oh, wow. That's like a pretty broad range of instruments that you guys play.
We mix it up.
Yeah. There's quite a lot of swapping on stage and stuff. It used to be much crazier, and it would be like every song or two, there'd be some swapping going on, but we've tried to...
We've refined
it somewhat, yeah. Just for, you know, sake of keeping the show going and getting the songs played.
Yeah. So less swapping now. You're not going to be like throwing instruments at each other.
Not so much.
Not so much. Yeah.
A little.
Just a little. As a treat. So you guys did an interview with Atwood Magazine, and you talked a lot about the production of the album, Total Dive, and kind of like, do you want to expand a little bit on that and like, what parts were hardest for you? What were your favorite parts? Like,
trying to remember this interview.
Yeah.
Was that one you?
I think it was only kind of a slight difference from the first two records we made, because we still had the same producer, Owen, working with us, but we just were able to spend a few days at a slightly bigger studio and use some slightly better gear to kind of make the sound a bit bigger. Yeah. So I don't think it was too difficult to kind of transition into that. We just kind of had some, you know, a bit more to work with.
A few more gadgets and fancier things to
like. I think it's something we all enjoy doing so much as well that in a way I don't think we found any of it like difficult or onerous. It was just sort of exciting to do each different bit of the recording process.
Yeah, we just figure it out a bit as we go, as we kind of try out this new equipment, yeah. Or like someone gets a better amp or something.
Yeah.
We kind of work.
You get a bit more time, you get to push the ideas a little bit further, get to be a bit more creative. So yeah, every time it gets a little bit bigger, a little bit better, hopefully.
How did you guys initially get into a studio? Like, did you know people? Did you reach out, or do you just like keep emailing until someone said yes?
There's a guy called Owen Turner who lives about an hour from where we live in Norwich, way out in the countryside in a little village called Narborough. He basically has just a giant garden shed, which is over the last 30 years he's just been filling with different bits of recording gear. It's super easy to get to, it's really cheap, he's a genius. It just took one recommendation from another Norwich musician. You can stay there in a little annex and some bunk beds. There's one pub around the corner that also does Chinese food. But there's literally nothing else for miles and miles and miles.
Have to make a record.
You kind of, yeah. Basically, that's the only thing to do there is make an album. So, for all three, we just kind of go there once a year, and he's great, and can't really imagine recording anywhere else, and it's worked out well for us so far, and loads of Norwich bands are now going over there and recording there, so it's just it's kind of the. That's the spot, you know?
That's so cool. I feel like most studios in America are like these kind of corporate office type things, and like they're in cities and you have to go to them. Like, that's so different, but so cool.
Yeah, I don't think that would suit us at all. I think we'd be a bit spooked maybe if we landed in this really pristine kind of environment. But, you know, it's really just, you know, he's got his chickens are just wandering around the fields, and he's got these two golden retrievers, and they're sort of bouncing around all the time, and... it's very like it's a real low pressure environment, and you feel like you can really kind of relax and just really dedicate yourself to this one task, you know. If you were in a city, I think you'd be so many distractions, but yeah it's great, we love it there.
I mean, golden retrievers seem very distracting to me. I don't think I could get anything done. I'm like, you're just so cute.
Yeah, agreed.
Did the goldens or the chickens, were they featured on the album at all, or?
They made it into a music video from the first album, yeah. If you look at the video for Sunfisher on YouTube, that's one of Niall's songs. I think it's Poppy, the Golden Retriever.
Pops up early on
in that video.
Yeah. Do you guys film a lot of your videos there as well?
I think it was just the one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Just the one, but we kind of tend to film them in like rural parts of Norfolk. Norfolk's kind of, if you can imagine like a sort of cold and wet Louisiana with kind of tons of medieval churches and crumbling windmills. But yeah, it's very flat and there's swamps and stuff. It's very evocative. And like, I don't know, a lot of our sound, I think, is kind of taps into into that. Yeah, so it's kind of made sense for us to film these videos in these kind of wetlands and long flat roads and open spaces.
Yeah, I was going to say, but your music does seem to have like very nostalgic, rocky vibe to it. Like, I don't know if like Appalachian is a good way to describe it, because like obviously that's American and totally different, but like kind of just like that vibe of being like alone in the wilderness and like kind of be, I guess, not to be morbid, but like the the way time keeps going.
Yeah. They're pretty morbid songs often, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it fits.
I think that there's definitely an Appalachian influence as well, and you know, we love a lot of that music that's come out of there, and
we started playing with, I mean, I play the accordion, Niall plays the banjo, and Emma does too, and now we have the pedal steel as well, so kind of the instruments definitely evoke that kind of area as well.
Yeah, that is so cool. You guys did mention, actually, on your guys' Instagram, @brownhorse_band, the five albums that inspired Total Dive. I do have them written down if you don't remember what you said.
Yeah,
do you still feel like those are still the largest inspirations, or like, what else do you feel inspired it?
Was this for the uncut thing?
Brooklyn
Vegan one.
Brooklyn Vegan, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I said Purple Mountains by Purple Mountains, which still absolutely stands for me as a sort of template for writing sad songs in a sort of really good and interesting way.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's tons of stuff. I think you guys sort of pulled some slightly different stuff up for that.
Yeah, I have them written down.
Yeah, no, I think I went with the album Once by Richard Buckner. I've still been listening to a ton of Buckner since. And yeah, I think that was definitely kind of at the forefront of, you know, in terms of music I was thinking about whilst writing the new songs. You guys stand by.
Yeah, definitely. I went for Magnolia Electric Company, Trials and Errors, which is like, Jason Molina is a huge influence on us, and we just did a big tribute night to him in London. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a live, rocking, jammy album, but it's also like really folky and dark and haunted, and I think, yeah, that really is something that we aim for.
Yeah,
I picked I'm Good End Time by Freecore, and I think I only kind of thought about it afterwards when they asked what album were you listening to like at that time, and then I kind of connected that might have been an influence kind of thing. But the good thing is we put that out, and then she got in touch, Janet, one of the members of Freecore, got in touch and came to the Chicago show and gave us some merch, which I think
that's so cool.
It's quite nice sometimes you do make connections,
and that was staying with Janet.
Yeah.
When we come through Chicago, we'll be crashing at
so
Janet fire. From Freecore. So yeah. Just, you know, like these, you just kind of like, answer these interview questions. You never know what's going to happen. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Janet from Freecore,
man. Big shout out. Legend.
Yeah. The other album that you guys brought up was Woko with Am. So yeah. I was wondering if there was like, you guys knew the reasoning behind that, or kind of just.
Yeah, well, there was four of us, and then we all had our kind of individual picks, and then I guess we were trying to think of one that kind of maybe spoke to our collective consciousness in the van, and that CD just kind of has had, you know, a lot of playtime in our old VW van back home, and has kind of lived in the CD tray for a while. So it's one that just can be, by the time you get to the end of it, you're kind of ready to hear the first song again. And
that's a good album then.
Yeah, it's a big one for us, and I think
made
sense to have that as a fifth.
Yeah. When I was kind of listening to your music, it was kind of reminding me a lot of, like, Mitski. So if anyone here is a fan of Mitski, definitely check out Brown Horse.
Great.
Yeah. So speaking of your van and driving, how has it been driving in America?
It's a little scary to begin with, but we So obviously we drive on the left on the UK, but in mainland Europe they drive on the right, so we're kind of used to that. So to be honest, once we got over here, it's way easier. The population density is way down. Like driving through Belgium, that's a nightmare. But if you know, we did these drives in May, which were like we had 2.5 days to get from Vancouver, where we played the night before, to Minneapolis, where we had a show. And we were really worried about it before, but then you kind of realize once you're there that driving through Montana, all of North Dakota in a day is just like one long straight line with no traffic. And, you know, everything here is built around auto travel, right? Whereas in the UK, maybe things like the villages have sprung up around the old train stations and stuff. There's a rail network. So it's actually like way more chill driving here, and the vans are way bigger, way more comfortable. It's kind of a treat.
Wow, I honestly didn't expect that response.
Yeah.
I think if anyone goes and drives in from over here, goes, and I feel bad when, you know, American bands we know are going over to tour, in, especially in the south of England and northern Europe, Belgium, Netherlands, that kind of thing, because it's just so